What is a performance, anyway? Is it a truly spontaneous act, full of surprise, or is it a presentation of things already well rehearsed, previously decided? It can be both, of course, depending on the player. The thing people remember about Sviatoslav Richter is the spontaneous part of his performances, the part that had nothing to do with the idea of perfection.
He seemed so much to be making music in that moment, with such a kind of urgency, sometimes a kind of frantic urgency.
Michael Kimmelman, writing from abroad for the New York Times, is also a pianist and sometime music writer.
Occasionally there were errors in it, but those errors you excused because they were signs, in a sense, of his thinking in that moment, on the spot.
Richter, born in the Ukraine in March of 1915, was of partly German heritage. He first learned music from his father and then studied piano under Heinrich Neuhaus, a teacher so successful at training pianists they called him the pianist maker. As Richter began to perform in the Soviet Union and the surrounding countries in the 40s, his reputation as a miraculous player began to grow. And toward the end of the 50s, when the young Texan Van Cliburn traveled to Moscow and became the first American to win the Tchaikovsky competition there, Cliburn returned with news of the greatest piano playing he said he'd ever heard by a pianist called Richter. What generated the word of mouth?
The first thing that comes to mind with anybody, naturally, is that incredible pictures and exhibition from Sofia.
Harris Goldsmith is a pianist, critic, and teacher. He was writing for music magazines in the late 50s when Richter performed pictures in an exhibition in Bulgaria. Goldsmith's review of the recording of it was often reprinted. "The greatest performance of pictures I've ever heard, on records or off," he proclaimed. And he stands by it now, more than 50 years later.
The incredible colors he got out of the instrument, these colors that people could conjure sounds out of a piano that just nobody could ever do. And there was a kind of a fierce, otherworldly intensity, and it's kind of a manic power, and yet an incredible delicacy in poetry. It was just like a different dimension than you'd ever hear from that piece before.
It was a combination of the playing and the showmanship Richter had learned early.
He even talked about this later on, that theater was something that he learned from Neuhaus and that he thought that other pianists didn't quite appreciate. He just grasped that it is a work of tremendously shifting moods. And some of the quiet passages in there are so mysterious, so soft, and that they actually draw you in with the same kind of intensity, urgency that the loud passages do.
He was helped by an astonishing physical presence. One writer said audiences swooned as soon as Richter walked out on stage.
He was huge.
Soviet pianist Vladimir Viardo got to know Richter after Viardo won the Van Cliburn competition in 1973.
He himself definitely had the strongest magnetism and aura of all people on the earth I knew. If he comes to the room, lots of people felt themselves immediately small, and he enjoyed this, the reaction of the people.
So he had the magnetism and the musicianship and the spontaneity, and sometimes even he could be a little calculating too, especially when he played a certain Liszt sonata with a quiet, mysterious opening.
He would walk out on stage, sit down, clear his mind, and just sit counting to 30 slowly without doing anything. He said the audience would instantly panic. They thought, what's going on? Is he sick?
It starts very, very much in a vacuum, I see. So definitely you have to expect special kind of silence, like magnifying glass to this first bomb.
And then finally when he got to 30, he put his hands on the keyboard and played this G.
You know, any concert, it's not only the artist on stage, it's also how much public is tuned into it. when he played this sonata, he needed this total concentration in the air.
It was mesmerizing.
Richter was finally permitted a visit to the West during a brief cultural thaw in the Cold War. He had a triumphant debut at Carnegie Hall, played concerts here for about a decade, and then Richter withdrew from all that. He had an intense dislike of advanced schedules. He didn't care much for recording studios either, which is not to say he didn't play. He kept on playing and playing, having made an uneasy peace with life under the Soviet regime. Later, he reinvented the idea of a concert pianist, affecting a kind of wandering minstrel life, playing in remote areas. He liked to play in the dark, with one small lamp burning, exploring an almost endless range of repertoire, Bach, Debussy, Chopin, Britten, everything. Because he was exploring, he had wildly variable results.
He could sometimes be just so unbelievably great, but other times he could just be absolutely bizarre.
Sometimes half a recital was good and the other half was terrible. He was one of these pianists who was hit and miss. This was part of the excitement about him.
Sviatoslav Richter died in 1997, but the hit and miss excitement of Richter is oddly still alive. Because by withdrawing from conventional concert life and eventually from studio recordings, Richter inspired all manner of ingenious piracy. Unable to accept a world without Richter recordings, music lovers of every stripe smuggled recording equipment into his concerts, sometimes every couple of days. These pirated recordings have found their way, many of them, onto commercial CDs. There are now literally hundreds of Richter recordings made under totally unpredictable and variable conditions, representing his hits and his misses. If it is perfection you want, you will have to look elsewhere. But for the sound of one man thinking, Richter's still alive on recording, and it's worth the sifting. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkar.